Hello, everyone, and welcome to Watermark Church's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now let's join Pastor Jarvis as we dive into the series of Colossians.
Everybody stand up this morning as we dive into this. And guys, I am not kidding you how amazing it is for me to be up here and how good it feels, like a breath of fresh air, and to see your faces. I bet there was like 9 or 10 weeks that we were just recording online and not doing live. And it's one thing to be in front of people. It's another thing only to be in front of a camera. That's a little rough. And so, but I'm telling you, to be up here, it just feels like home, and it just feels great. Today, anybody like to receive letters in here? Anybody just got like a letter? I'm not talking about bills. I'm talking about getting a letter in the mail. It's amazing when you get a personal letter. It doesn't happen very often. We usually get emails and different things, but when you get a personal letter sent to you, I remember growing up as a kid, and we lived about 20 minutes out of town, and our address was actually called Hermosa something. I don't remember the whole address, but I remember to get there, we had to do a U-ey to get around to the mailbox, and my mom and dad would get the mail from a kind of a busy highway. And I will never forget always pulling around and saying, well, I wish I got mail. I was always mad as a little kid. I never got anything in the mail. And now as an older guy, I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't get all these bills in the mail. Anybody else feel that way? But it's interesting because when you look at the book of Colossians, Paul was writing this from prison and is a letter to the church. And so not just a letter to that, I'm explaining this in a second, but not just a letter to that church, but a letter to the church as a whole. So let's pray today as we jump in the series. And my encouragement for you is this. We're going to be in Colossians for a while. We're going to take it slow and steady. Couple reasons why we're doing this. One, I want you to dive into the word with us. And I want you to read Colossians slowly with us. I want you to go through and underline it and read it with us. And two, I believe Paul has a lot of words, and God has a lot of words for us as a church today in the midst of this. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the church. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. I pray we receive today your word. Receive today what you have for us as a church. Lord, in this time, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, before you sit down, if you can turn to somebody, don't shake hands, just wave and smile through your mask at a few people. That would be great. You guys are all so quiet. Wow.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi. I love it. It's interesting, as Paul's writing this letter in prison, think about that for a second. A lot of the New Testament is written from prison. I'm not sure if you've ever got a letter from a prisoner, but that's kind of interesting when we think about it. Even actually says in chapter 4 of Colossians that he wrote this with chains on, that he was literally writing this with chains. And it's interesting because God has a purpose. And so some of you may feel like you're stuck. Maybe some of you feel like you're in your own prison doors emotionally or spiritually or with addictions. And I'm telling you, God can have a purpose within your prison, that God can have a purpose in these things. And so the question is, I was saying from the video, what is your story written from? A couple of things. I want to dive into Colossians today just to give you a brief history about this. There is two addresses on this envelope that's being sent out. One is to the church of Colossae. Everybody say that with me, Colossae. It looks like Colossae, but it's actually Colossae. And it's interesting because he was writing this letter to the church. It's a new church, and we're going to get more into this church, how established before. But it was kind of like newer Christians, a newer church. And he's hearing about what this church is doing, even though he's never been there. So he's writing this to this young church. But he's also including the church of Jesus Christ, the saints of the Lord, big capital C to all of us, the big church. But Paul is speaking. Colossae is a small town. It's not like Corinth or Ephesus. It's nearby Laodicea. It's probably kind of on the way, but it's this smaller village, this town in that area, not village, but a smaller town considered by those other ones. And this is written around 50 to 60 or 70 AD. Now, what's interesting about this, you can look into this, but there was a massive earthquake during this time in this area, like all these areas, which actually destroyed cities, killed people. They think that actually this letter was written and within a year of them receiving this letter, that this earthquake could have happened. That this earthquake actually, they were saying that some of the people that actually read this letter would probably not have been around a year later. That some parts of this city, some parts of this country were gone. The letter was written, if you put it into just a simple sentence, why did Paul write this letter? Is because Colossae was almost like a crossroads of highways at this time. And if you think about it, there was a lot of directions you could go, but also brought a lot of different people, nationalities, and religions into this area. And so this newer church was actually adding a lot to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul was actually writing this letter to talk about the supremacy and the lordship of Jesus Christ, saying you don't have to add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about the love of Christ, grace, and God. And he just talked about that. And so people were adding. He's like, you don't need to add to this. So I'm just going to jump into in Colossians 1:1-7. I love this scripture. So it's going to be up on the screen. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, two of God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Father. We always thank God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Because we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for God's people and the faith and love that spring up from the hope stored for you in heaven and about you, have already heard in the true message of the gospel. See, he's already pointed out the true message, not the added to it or the watered down, true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing through the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understand God's grace. We learn it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, which we're going to hear more about later, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and also told us of the love in the Spirit. Colossians 1:16-17, we're going to jump ahead. It says, for it was in him, if you are taking notes, highlight that or do whatever, it was in him that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen, things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created and exist through him and in him for him. Isn't that cool? Let me read that again. All things were created and exist through him and in him for him. He himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. Think about this. So today's, I'm just going to open up by saying this. I believe that we need to hear this today where we are at, is that we need to be in Christ. We need to be in him. I love when we read it again. It says, and all things were created exist through him and in and for him. In him and for him. And if you don't think this is important, let's read from Ephesians. I'm going to do this really slow. We're going to do a lot of scripture today because I think scripture is preaching for itself here. Ephesians 1:1-14 says this, Paul, again, in a different letter, apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to God's holy people in Ephesus, a different church now, is saying this, the faithful in Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord, from our God Father, Lord Jesus Christ, heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with him, pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7, in him, we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us mystery of his will according to a good pleasure, which is purposed in Christ to be in effect when the times reach their full fulfillment, to bring unity all things in heaven and on earth and under Christ. In him, we also are chosen, having been predestined according to the plan in him who works out everything. Now think about this. I'm going to jump ahead. Verse 12 says, who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory and also be included in Christ. And it keeps on going on. When you think about this, the next chapter says, in him, the seal and the promise of the Holy Spirit. 10 times, even in Ephesians to a different church, he says this, in Christ. We are called to be faithful in Christ. We are blessed with us in every spiritual blessing in Christ. God chose us in Christ. We are freely given grace in Christ. We have redemption and forgiveness of our sins in Christ. We are made known of his mystery in Christ. We are chosen in Christ. We are put in our hope in Christ. We were included because of Christ in Christ, and we are marked because of Christ. So when you think about this, think about this. When you are in Christ, all that is true of him changes what is true about you. When you are in Christ, when you are in the Spirit is in you. When you are better, now think about this. This is my biggest premise today. You are a better person. You are better when you are in him. When you are in Christ. When you are in him. In Christ, it's like a position. It's an identity that we are in Christ. It's like this. Here's my cell phone. And so my cell phone does some cool things. I can talk on it. But when I put it in my pocket, wherever I go, my cell phone goes with me because I put it in something. I can put things in my pocket. I can carry things. You can put things in your car. That means where you go, it goes. You can move these things around because where you go, it goes. And I wonder this, even in our spiritual life, saying, if we are in Christ, do we go where he goes? Do we go in these areas? I'm going to read a few more scriptures, and here we go. 2 Timothy 1:9 says this, and these are all scriptures that we know. He has saved us and called us to his holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of our own purpose and grace. His grace has given us in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, before the beginning of time. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation, and the old is gone, and the old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore now is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and life was the light of men. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Philippians 4:13 says this, I have the strength for all things in Christ that who empowers me. Acts 17:28 says this, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. So think about this. In him, we use these scripture verses all the time and says, yes, in him we move, in him we can be empowered. Because of him we have this. But the first step is to receive a blessing is to be in him. He says, it's not to be separate. He says, listen, if you want to work in this, scripture is very clear and it says to be in Christ, not to be separate, to be in it. The Bible talks about different kind of typologies or analogies about this and it describes it. It talks about a union of husband and wife that they are together. And as he talks about the two becoming one. It even talks about the body of Christ, that Jesus is the head and that we're the body. The other thing it talks about is the vine and the branches. And I preached on this before, that without the tree, that there's no life. It's not connected. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Today before church service, I literally took off this branch from outside. It's already wilting. It's already fallen apart. It's already losing life. It's already, before when I got it, you could, you know what I'm saying? The leaves were strong. It wasn't a fruit-bearing tree, of course, but it had life. It had life coming through. But then I took it apart, and here's what began to happen. Because it got disconnected from its source, it no longer had life going through it. It no longer had that life. And even though it looks green, it's now in the process of slowly dying. It's now in the process of doing this. When I gave this illustration a few years ago, I had this plant in the hub that we used for it, and I took it apart, and we talked about grafting it back together and everything. But think about this. As the branch is no longer connected, it's not remaining or in him. It's not getting its source. It's not getting its life. It's not being staying alive. And I think about this a lot in our seasons is that just because it may look like the source for a little bit, it's losing life because it's no longer connected. I said all these verses because I think sometimes we say these verses and take them out of context. We use them to get what we want. We say these verses and says, yeah, in him I move. And we say, God has empowered me. God is doing this stuff. But a lot of these verses start by saying, when in him, when you are connected to the source, when you remain, when you are in Jesus Christ, this is where the strength comes in. What I feel what begins to happen with our society the way it is, we have a lot of opinions, but when we don't remain, that's when we face things like burnout. That's when we face things like being overwhelmedness, that we're saying the world is going to, you know what I'm saying, down the tubes, all these things, and we just become almost hopeless. But when we remain, when we stay in him, when we stay connected, and this is why I believe Paul says this over and over again, you want to change your community, you want to know what it means. He's telling this young church, the biggest thing you got to do from the starting point is to remain, to stay in him. Some of us are saying all the time, well, I'm in sin, I'm in this. Let me read this again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. You might think, well, I don't feel very strong. I feel like my, you know what I'm saying? This is, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Because your nutrients doesn't come from the branch. Your nutrients come from him. He says, well, I feel like my life is, I don't feel full anymore. I feel kind of almost dark. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Therefore, there is, if any person be in Christ, think about that. If anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. What does that mean? Not just one time. It says, if you remain every single day, doesn't it say his mercies are new every morning? Great is your faithfulness. He says, if you remain in him, then that says the mercies are new every morning, that in him you can find new mercies. In him you can find greatness. And in him you can find identity. In him. And so this is so interesting. He says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. So abide in me, Jesus says, and I will abide in you. So our focus as we move forward, this is what Paul's trying to say to the church. Our focus needs to be on the abiding and the remaining in Christ. That is our central focus. Our focus, we need to move away from trying to change every political standing, trying to make everybody's mind change. You need to wake up, and our focus needs to be, Lord, I need to abide and be in you. Lord, I need to stay connected with you. And this world is just trying to, I'll just be honest with you. I have, on social media, there's a thing called snooze button that you can actually push it. And if you don't like what somebody says, you can snooze them for 30 days. I'm not telling you who I did that to, but I've snoozed a lot of people in the last 6 months. And I've actually got less and less on it because here's what it is. I've realized the more I get involved, the less abiding I do. Now listen, I do believe that we need to stay caught up in current events because we need to know what to pray for. But when was the last time we just got away in our prayer closet and says, God, what are you speaking to me? Not what is the world speaking to me, not my worries, not my fears, but God, what are you speaking to me? You said, if you abide in me, that I will bear much fruit. If I do the abiding, then listen, church, if we do the abiding, then God will do the building. That God will bring the fruit of your labor. Our goal is do the abiding and the remaining in him, and he will bring the fruit and do the building work. He will bring the nutrients that you need. And so bear much fruit. First, in Romans, Paul was saying this, our truest identity is that we are in Christ. That is what we need to understand. He's telling this church over and over again, telling churches, your truest identity you will find out when you are not disconnected from the Lord, but when you are connected from to the Lord, when you remain in him. When you lose yourself, you are losing yourself in him. So listen to this. You find yourself when you find him. You find yourself in Jesus Christ. When you are connected, you become your true self. You will never be more your true self than when you are pursuing him and looking to be like him and being connected to him. Can I get the worship team up here? We're going to end this thing. And listen, I believe with all my heart that what the enemy wants to do is take you. Now listen, this is why I believe how the enemy works. If this is a tree, my podium is a tree, the enemy wants you to slowly lose connection and be connected, not to be connected in him, in Christ anymore, to keep on slipping away. Because here's the deal. If your identity is found in who God is, because listen to this, if you don't understand this, if you are an artist or a sculptor and you created something, you created that, and the person who created that should know the identity or what that is. If the person who's creating it should know more than anybody else what that purpose and what that thing is. So if you are created, which you are, by the Lord, by God, God created you, then of course he knows your purpose, he knows your heartbeat, he knows your passions, he knows your limitations, but he also knows your greatness. And so what happens is, when we lose connection, not only are we not spending time with him, not only are we no longer connected or in him, we're not remaining, we're not abiding, we begin to lose our identity. We have bunches of people say, I just don't know who I am. What does it say in Christ? You are a new creation. That the old is gone and the new is here. Well, I don't know who I am. And I would almost apt to say, if we struggle with our identity, maybe we're struggling with our connection. Is that okay for me to say? If you're struggling with your identity, then maybe you're struggling with your connection to the Lord. I think the more we are in him, the more we know ourselves. The more we are in him, the more we know what to do. The more we remain in him, the more we know what to pray for. Listen, I'm a better father to my kids when I remain in him. I'm a better pastor when I don't try to do it on my own, but when I remain in him. You are better in your business when you remain in him. Because I think sometimes people own businesses or whatever, they try to do it on their own, and they're over here trying to shake the branch, trying to make things happen. And God says, listen, you're using your own power too much. It's not by what you do, but who I am. Just remain in me. So what's my object every day? Well, of course, we got to go to jobs and do our stuff and love our kids and love our wife and all that kind of stuff. But really, our purpose is to be in him. That might look different for some of you, but really it's not different. It just says, I'm going to go back to the verse up top. It says this again. I love this. It says, not just through him. I love that. It says that it was not just through, but all things were created in him and for him. That I, when I love others, I'm loving Jesus Christ and I'm doing it. And I'm telling you, this year, I promise you this. One of the things I said when COVID started, my prayer is that we end stronger than we started. How that works is if you stay more connected to him than you do your Facebook or social media or to Netflix or your worries and fears, if you stay more connected to him than you do all these other things, I'm telling you, you will bear much more fruit. You will bear fruit. Everybody stand up this morning. I love the picture of this because a lot of it's just remaining. Now, a lot of us are just busy doing stuff. Listen, I'm not saying you got to stop doing stuff, but how about you become before you do? How about you become who you are in Jesus Christ before you do something for Jesus Christ? That's one of the problems I have in ministry is I want to do a lot of things for the Lord, but I need to remember who I'm becoming for the Lord. And part of it is just saying, listen, and knowing who you're becoming is spending time and staying connected to the Lord. So this is what we need to do. We just need to spend time with the Lord. So we're going to go back into some worship. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. And as you look at these scriptures today, I want you to think about, yes, these scriptures are all true. But it kind of starts with you in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in him, not separated from him, not making decisions without him, but making decisions in him. First thing is this, if you're here today and you're not in him at all, you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you've never made a decision to be a follower of the Lord, I'm telling you today is your day to make that decision. No one's looking around, and if that's you, I'm just going to take a few minutes here. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand in this place. I'm just going to look around a little bit. If that's you, and you're saying, today I need to make a decision to follow you. So I'll say this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Forgive me my sins. Help me to follow you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If that's you, we got some Bibles out there. We got some stuff we want to give you. Everybody else, I just want us to do this today. As we're going to go back into worship, I'm not going to ask you to step out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that because we just really can't move anyway. But I want you to just visualize you. Are you connected? Or are you disconnected? Are you remaining in him? And the question is, do you trust him? Is he your last option or your first option? Do you go to him right away and just say, Lord, I need you this morning? I'm just going to give a simple prayer, and then we're gonna end with worship, and we're dismissed today. But my prayer for us today is that we remain, abide, and do everything in him, in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for as we go back into worship, Lord. Lord, help us to surrender to you. I pray for us who are like a branch disconnected, trying to do things on our own. We think that we can do it by ourselves, but Lord, that we forget about being connected with you. Lord, we surrender to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Help us not to lose that source. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us today here at Watermark Church. If you have any questions or want to learn more, you can visit us at www.stillwatermark.com. Thank you.